off the birds and have the two regulation movable sized soccer fields that we can have not only for Park Row School District, but K-12, but also for the community in East Portland. We're right on the bus line, easy to get to, great location, food vendors, gasoline, a beautiful area. So we came to the commissioners, did our dog and pony show to everybody that would listen. And you listened. It was amazing to us to hear this kind of gift given to our school district by the city of Portland. I am just amazed. In addition, we have Commissioner Fish was talking with the gentleman who works with the Portland Timbers. And he is also interested in our project. And in fact, in May, we'll be doing a big celebration. So we really feel like this is part of our renaissance for our school district. And of course, we're doing many, many things in academics to also bring our test scores up. And we think extracurricular activities are all part of that.
Thank you.
Dr. Gray, while you're here, do you want to put a plug in for your foundation dinner this Saturday?
Well, Commissioner Saltzman, I would.
Okay. Why don't you give people the
no
date,
surprise
the
to
date
anybody.
Time, date, time, location, all that stuff.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much for coming to PBA, Park Rose Business Association. Commissioner Fritz comes often as well. And your generous gift to the foundation of lunch with three people, which we think we're going to use as an oral auction item because we think it's going to garner quite a bit of support.
I'm going to bid.
No, really, I could use some time with Commissioner Saltzman.
I would like to note that Dr. Gray
was... You have a quorum, so you can't all bid. So.
Dr. Funny. Gray was conspicuously absent during my visit
yes.
to the Park Rose Business Association. Perhaps didn't have the luster of a visit from Commissioner Fritz or Commissioner Leonard.
Oh, and Commissioner others, Fish, I am so
I did
there.
The best I could with, a smaller audience.
It was so embarrassing. I actually have a big, fat excuse for that. I'm on a commission for the governor, and I had to be in Salem. If it wasn't for the governor, I'd have been there. But anyway, our auction is Saturday night, this coming Saturday night. It's at 6 o'clock, and it's at the Airport Holiday Inn. Wonderful event.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, and thanks for all your leadership on everything else that you work on, in addition to being a fantastic superintendent.
Thank you very much. We really, really appreciate all of your support. Thank you.
Anybody else signed up to testify?
No one else signed up.
All right, can you please call the vote on the resolution?
Fish?
Well, first I want to single out Commissioner Fritz for being the driving force on this. With special appropriations, it takes a special effort by a commissioner to see something through, and I really deeply appreciate the time she spent putting this together and advocating it for it. And also, Dr. Gray, I have to acknowledge that your tireless advocacy on behalf of the school district is bearing fruit in many different ways. In the classroom, we talked not long ago about the We the People program and the outstanding young people that through Park Rose are having that experience and going on to college. And now this shared commitment to providing recreational opportunities. What is exciting for us at Parks is that we've made a commitment to look citywide and to expand our network of ball fields. And through this partnership, we're going to bring long-awaited fields to Park Rose. But in prior weeks, this council has taken action to make sure that there'll be new fields at Benson. We're supporting fields at Roosevelt. We're collaborating with the University of Portland, which will be building out new fields along the Willamette. At Fern Hill, we have private partners willing to help us enhance the fields. And just today, in fact, we'll be voting on an MOU to allow a group of private citizens to raise money to enhance fields at Grant. So I am optimistic that in the next few years, we will deliver on the promise of making sure all of our children have fantastic facilities to play on, whether it's soccer, football, lacrosse, whatever team sport they choose. But a kudos to you, Dr. Gray, for really being the cheerleader for the Park Rose District. And it's not lost on this body that you are present in this building a lot and that you're making a huge difference. And it's not lost on me that you're also a New York transplant.
That's right.
So thank you all. I'm very proud to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for bringing this tremendous benefit to the Park Rose School District. It sounds like a great asset that will indeed give more kids opportunities to move around and to rebuild that pride in the Broncos. Aye.
Leonard.
I, too, want to thank Commissioner Fritz and Dr. Gray. Thanks for all you're doing at Park Rose. It really shows. Aye.
Fritz.
We had a very difficult budget last year. We're going to have an even more challenging budget this year, and it speaks to the commitment of this council to equity throughout the city, to our valued school districts other than the biggest one, as well as the biggest one, to our neighborhoods in East Portland, that the council committed to dedicating this money in the budget last year. And, of course, it's not the only thing that we're doing to help schools and to help the schools throughout our city. And also, I want to commend Commissioner Fish for his diligence and persistence and looking at all kinds of different ways to get these sports facilities provided in high schools all over the city. And I will continue to work with you on that. I also thank the Park Rose School Board, who took the first step in making sure that there were funds from the school district appropriated, which gave me the confidence that it was actually going to happen. Dr. Gray in committing to fundraising throughout the community. So this is truly a three-way partnership between the school board, the city of Portland, and the community. And it's going to happen. And I think it's a wonderful project. I had the honor of participating in the senior capstone project evaluations a couple of years ago. I'm going to do it again this year. I was absolutely thrilled with the standard of excellence of the students, the seniors at Parkhurst High School, and the amount of work and accomplishment that went into their senior capstone project, implementing some statewide mandates, which I think few high schools have previously been able to actually get done. And so Dr. Gray talked about sports being the hook, and I totally agree. I know that, and it's not only the hook for the students, it's the hook for the families, that they have permission to come. I enjoy high school sports particularly because they give you permission to cheer and clap raucously for these kids who are doing great stuff. And it's unfortunate that we don't get to clap and applaud often on the 4.0 students and the A's that come home, or even the D that turned into a C. Those are also worthy of applause, but sports somehow gives us the permission to go totally nuts and express our appreciation, and so I greatly enjoy them. And I am very grateful to the mayor and the council for supporting this. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for shepherding this through the process, and to all the folks at Park Rose that have kept in their end of the bargain as well. It's great to get this done. Aye. All right, can you please read the title for Council Item 556, second reading? We have another time, sir. 536.
Recognize April as Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. I'm very pleased to bring this resolution forward to recognize April as Child Abuse Prevention Month. At the same time, I'm gravely saddened that a 5-year-old girl in Gresham died this month due to aggressive abuse. The Portland Police review about 1,000 child abuse cases each month. This is why the Portland Children's Levy has invested $16 million since 2002 in child abuse prevention and intervention programs. The levy strove for a balance in the range and types of child abuse intervention and prevention programs. You will hear a few levy grantees speak about their programs in just a minute. Abuse and neglect seems like an impossible problem for a community, since these things often happen privately. But it's keeping silent to ourselves that allows a case like a 5-year-old girl to be trapped in her own private hell. No one ever spoke up, despite the fact that the girl had been abused for years. And it's not just young kids either. Older kids can be just as vulnerable, as we learned from a recently released state report that looked into the tragic death of a 15-year-old girl in Salem by abuse. So what I'm hoping to do by bringing forward this resolution is to continue to raise awareness and to share intervention and prevention strategies that everyone can do. Just as abuse and neglect can be one of the worst crimes anyone can commit, mentoring and nurturing a child is one of the greatest gifts you can give. So here to tell us more are Portland Police Bureau Family Services Division, Captain Donna Henderson, Portland Police Bureau Child Abuse Team Detective Karen Mack, CARES Northwest Program Manager Kevin Dowling, Catholic Charities El Programa Hispano, Karen James, and then Volunteers of America Family Relief Nursery, Michelle Reynolds. And we will start with, Detective Karen Mack.
Okay. I wish this whole room was full. Unfortunately, it's not, to hear the message that we all have to tell.
We're televised, so.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak before you today. It's my role and all the other people here, along with the community members, to help keep children safe. That's something that tugs at all of our heartstrings from time to time. I wanted to start off first, if I could, to tell you a little bit what I do as a child abuse detective. I work for the Portland Police Bureau, and I've been employed with the Bureau now for 23 years and assigned to the child abuse team for 16 of those 23 years. This team is under the direction now of Family Services Unit, and it is led by our captain, Captain Donna Henderson, who is also a Portland Police personnel. We're comprised with one lieutenant, 13 detectives, and those detectives are represented from Portland Police, Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, and Gresham Detectives. We also have one officer that is assigned full-time to CARES Northwest, which Kevin Dowling will address later. We investigate both physical and sexual abuse that happens to children. The incidents of physical abuse span from over-discipline all the way to death of children. We also investigate sexual abuse, and those things include sexual exploitation of children, sexual touching, rape, and other unthinkable things that people do to children. We investigate cases where adults who were abused as children and now adults have just festered up enough to come forward and disclose those heinous acts that occurred to them as children. We look into those things as well and investigate those. I was asked today to share statistics with you, and so today I can tell you the statistics that I've gathered from Department of Human Services records for the year of 2009 say that there were 21 fatalities, 866 reported incidents of sex abuse, 389 reported incidents of child abandonment, 2,494 reported incidences of neglect, 1,828 reported incidents of physical abuse, and 4,193 reported incidents of threat of harm to children. Those figures are alarming. The 2010 figures go up to include the month of March. That's where their stats are at this point in time. If you divide those figures that they have for 2010 by 3, which represents the months collected, and then multiply that number times 12, the months that we have in a year, those stats will increase in every category except for fatalities. But if this last two-week time frame that has hit our city and our county with child deaths is any indication of what lies ahead, that I'm sure will be miscalculated number on the fatalities. We've had 3 infant deaths so far that we have investigated within the last two-week time frame that I'm aware of. Our sergeants review thousands of reports. Last year, they assigned 988 cases to be divided up between the 13 detectives and the one officer. These reports come in from a variety of sources throughout the county, Both the other agencies that we have partnerships with, as well as Department of Human Services reports that they're reviewing. We're very fortunate to have great partners within the community that share the same dedication and love of our city and county's children that we do as a team. We have CARES Northwest, we have Department of Human Services, we have Multnomah County Healthcare Nurses, Multnomah County District Attorneys, various religious organizations such as Catholic Charities, Volunteers of America, and the list is endless of others that share the same desire to keep kids safe. As far as prevention strategies, I wish I could perform some type of magic and reduce the stats that I've provided today, but this will only occur if everyone in our community takes an active role in making that happen. We can start through education, by teaching young children in schools the effects of shaking babies and what that will do to a child, because they may be a babysitter of any one of your children or of a loved one's children. And yes, children in school do babysit. I investigated a case a number of years ago involving an 11-year-old child that shook a baby that was left in her care. We had two victims, but we had to assign one as the aggressor role. It was heart-wrenching to investigate that case, as you can well imagine. We also continue to teach children that no one is allowed to touch them on places that they are covered by swimsuits, and I use that term often with children, unless it's in a doctor's setting or for hygiene purposes. And if people do touch those children in those places, they're expected to be able to tell and comfortable enough to tell someone that they're being touched inappropriately. And when they do tell, we need to act upon those disclosures, and we need to take them seriously and investigate those. We can't just put those disclosures off without a thorough investigation. People that know of abuse in our community have to respond as mandated reporters do. We have mandated reporters that are covered under the legal explanation of such. If it was my perfect world, everyone in our community would fall under a mandated reporter synopsis. As you reported earlier, Commissioner Saltzman, the death that occurred to the 5-year-old, I know I can't go into specifics because it's an ongoing investigation. That case has ripped apart different detectives that have been involved in that investigation, myself included. These cases have to stop. People in our community have to be involved. They have to call. I know that we have had in the past a receiving center, and stop me if I go, sometimes I ramble, so stop me if I ramble here. In the past, we've had a receiving center, and I want to tell you a little bit about one of the things that really that really touched home with me. We saw all of our community partners work together one year when myself and another detective took an entire family of kids, ranging in age from teenage years all the way down to little ones, into protective custody over the holidays, the Christmas holidays. We did not want to split those kids up. All of us detectives take our job very, very seriously, and we get very attached to these kids that we help. We could not, for the life of us, see splitting these kids up into foster home over the holidays. We got together with our community partners, with the receiving center that we had operating at the time. They agreed to take this entire family. We went to CARES Northwest. They provided gifts for these children at Christmas time. We went to the Sunshine Division. They provided us with vouchers to go out and take these kids shopping and get them some clothes. All of the detectives in our unit gave of their own time and went out with these kids and shopped for clothes. And we kept those kids together over the holidays. Those are things that we need in place to help us with these types of investigations. We have training coming up next week that most of our detectives will attend. The Clackamas County puts it on. It's the Child Abuse Summit over at the Red Lion. We've been fortunate enough to have funding that allows us all to attend that, or most of us to attend that training. I just urge you, when you do have budget things to consider, that you put us at the top of your list and don't make cuts in our area of investigations.
Thank you. Thank you, Detective Mack.
Good morning. My name is Kevin Dowling, and I work as a program manager at CARES Northwest. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak today during April Child Abuse Prevention Month. CARES Northwest is Portland's only medical program specializing in helping children who have been abused or neglected. The program has been serving children for 23 years and is one of the oldest and largest child abuse intervention centers in the country. We are also the only program that I'm aware of anywhere that's part of a collaborative effort of four large health systems: Kaiser Permanente, the Children's Hospital at Legacy Emanuel, OHSU Dornbecker Children's Hospital, and Providence Health and Services. Although I could go on and on about what makes CARES Northwest a great program, I thought I'd use our time this morning to tell you the story of a four-year-old girl who lives right here in Portland and how she came to be a patient at CARES Northwest. 11 o'clock on a Thursday morning, a protective services caseworker from the Department of Human Services, or DHS, called CARES Northwest and spoke to one of our intake counselors. The caseworker was responding to a hotline report involving a four-year-old girl, and they were concerned about physical abuse, as the four-year-old reportedly had bruises on her face, her ear, her head, and bite marks on her arm. She said her father had bit her. The four-year-old also was reported to have repeated contact with a registered sex offender, and there was a significant history of domestic violence in the family. The caseworker had taken the child into protective custody because the alleged offender who lived in the home couldn't be located at the time, and the caseworker wasn't sure about the mother's ability to protect her daughter. The intake counselor at CARES consulted with one of the CARES physicians and determined the child needed to be seen urgently that day at CARES Northwest. So over the next half hour, CARES staff spoke with a police sergeant to notify them of the referral and ask if a detective had been assigned to the case. We obtained the police report from the on-site Portland police officer from the child abuse team that's stationed at CARES, and we got a history of the concerns, past concerns to DHS, from the on-site Multnomah County hotline screener stationed at CARES. At 2 o'clock, the child arrived at CARES with a detective, a caseworker, and her maternal grandmother. And over the next 2.5 hours, a team of professionals is going to see her. The core part of that team is a CARES Northwest doctor and a child abuse interviewer who will work side by side throughout the evaluation. The team gathers medical and social history and a history of the current concerns. The four-year-old has a head-to-toe checkup. She also has a videotaped interview, which is observed by the doctor, detective, and caseworker to minimize the number of times the four-year-old will have to repeat her story. Based on the history available and the physical exam, the doctor makes a diagnosis of physical abuse. Recommendations are made for follow-up care, including mental health therapy, ointment for skin irritation, a developmental assessment, and recommendations for safety of the child. A CARES social worker, funded by the Portland Children's Levy, meets with a protective services caseworker and grandmother to help coordinate the care that's been recommended. She consults with our therapist from the Multnomah County Family Support Team, who's on site at CARES, and about options for mental health follow-up, and is available to help the grandmother with questions that she's going to have following that CARES evaluation. Law enforcement and Child Protective Services have been able to listen to the child's disclosures, talk directly with the physician about the injuries that were documented that day, and have the information they need to develop a safety plan for the child and arrest the alleged offender. In this particular case, the alleged offender admitted to assaulting the child and was sentenced to jail. 11 professionals coordinated services within 6 hours to serve this one child. And this level of coordination is not unique. It's based on a well-established national model, and it's something that we implement every day at CARES Northwest. Now, that was one child's story. In the last 12 months, CARES Northwest has served 1,515 children in our outpatient clinic. We served 175 children admitted to the hospital for concerns of child abuse, and 253 children seen at the Children's Hospital at Legacy Emanuel's Emergency Department. Each week, CARES sees enough children to fill the average-sized public school classroom. And every few months, we do enough child abuse medical evaluations that would fill a local elementary school. Between those numbers and the onslaught of local news stories about children being abused, you might reasonably assume that the world's full of perpetrators lurking around every corner, or that the world's a dark and dangerous place. But I think you'd be wrong. In my opinion, the good guys far outnumber the bad guys. And most people in our society care very much about the safety and well-being of our community's children. And I'd say that's especially true here in Portland, where voters have continued to support the Portland Children's Levy, that helps local programs like CARES Northwest prevent and intervene to stop child abuse. To me, it's an indication that Portland citizens don't just talk about how important children are, they do something about it. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Karen Janes. I'm with Catholic Charities El Programa Hispano. Thank you for having us here today. I would like to share with you a little bit about our program, which is funded through the Portland Children's Levy. It is the Portland Child Involvement Project, and we work specifically with Latina survivors of domestic violence and their children. About 30% of the calls that DHS receives through their child abuse hotline are related to domestic violence situations. When children are exposed to domestic violence or witness it, it has long-term harmful effects on their behavior and their development. The effects of the trauma manifest as fear, anxiety, depression, aggressive behavior, learning disabilities, speech disabilities. Through home visits and parent and children education classes, our staff of a parent-child specialist and Latino child specialist work with the moms and the children to understand the effects of domestic violence and the children's witnessing the violence on their behavior. It helps them understand their emotions, helps the children deal with their emotions and learn how not to act out aggressively. It also teaches the moms how to communicate with their children, to interact positively, and also to discipline them, but in positive manners, and let them know that hitting is not okay. The goals of our program is to improve the way the mothers interact with their children, and also to improve the behavior of the child and create a healthy environment and positive role models for the moms to be to their children. The long-term goal is to break the cycle of violence that exists in our families that affects so many children. So thank you.
My name is Michelle Reynolds, and I'm the director for the Family Relief Nursery, a part of Volunteers of America. We're an intervention and prevention program that serves families who have been identified as at risk of abuse or neglect. The core services we provide the families include therapeutic classrooms, home visiting, parent education, and transportation services. These services are provided at no cost to the families and help to build a safe and nurturing home environment for the families that receive our services, and we actively work on reducing the families' risk factors. The average family typically presents with 10 to 12 risk factors. A family needs 8 risk factors to be eligible for services. And recent data collected from MPC research shows that if we can reduce just 2 risk factors, that cuts the chance of abuse or neglect in half. So we begin doing this by assisting the family in reducing the risk factors and actively engaging the parents in home visits, creating individual family service plans for each family. We provide support, coaching, and resources for the families, and parent education classes. Parents also utilize respite care to work on goals, receive counseling, do job searches, or continue education or other appointments while their children are engaged in our therapeutic classrooms. The Family Relief Nursery staff are skilled at identifying abuse and neglect. This year, after a teacher noticed signs of abuse, a report was made to DHS, and 2 children were removed from their homes. The children were lethargic, nonverbal, and would not make direct eye contact. This family was new to the nursery, and within just a little over a week after being placed in foster care and engaging in our therapeutic classrooms, the children began communicating with our teachers. They actually smiled. The caseworker noted that our phone call most likely saved those 2 small children's lives. Another family who had their children already in foster care were able to engage in our services, and we became the one stable and supportive environment that the children knew. They were able to be reunited after their mother within 1 month of being in the foster care system. And this was largely in part due to their enrollment in the relief nursery. And we worked collaboratively with DHS to stabilize the family and further reduce their risk factors. And I just wanted to share with you some of our outcomes. 98.4% of all the children that receive relief nursery services that had former DHS open cases had no subsequent involvement. That means no reported reports and no abuse and no foster care. Also, our parent-child interactions increased from 44% intakes to over 75% after a 12-month period. And families who read to their children, that increased from 19% at intake to 65% after 12 months in care. We were able to serve 94 children and families this past year. We currently have a waiting list of over 30-plus families who still receive outreach services and monthly home visits. And we also know the need in Outer East County, and we hope to expand services at some point to serve those families. And I just want to thank the City of Portland and the Portland Children's Levy for your support, and we couldn't do this without you. Thank you so much.
Any questions of our panelists?
Yeah, great testimony.
I just also wanted to take this opportunity before we vote on the resolution to update the City Council. As you know, last year during Child Abuse Awareness Month or Prevention Month, we did pass a resolution to lower the city flag in honor of children in the city of Portland that have died due to abuse. We have lowered the flag, and we've honored three children in the intervening year. 4-year-old Ashton Lorenzo Medina Barr, who was killed November 4th, 2009. He and his mother were victims of a domestic violence-related homicide. 4-year-old Eldon J. Rebon Smith, who died from a tragic drowning when his mother threw him over the Selwood Bridge. 17-year-old Fernando Chavez, who was killed while trying to recover his stolen bike. There were community response, including from service providers and advocates, have been extremely supportive and positive about the city is raising awareness and honoring these children. The flag is lowered at City Hall, the Portland Building, Pioneer Courthouse Square, the Convention Center, and the World Trade Center. So I just wanted to update our council members on that, too. Thank you all for your testimony.
Thank you very much for all the work you do. Is there anyone that signed up to testify on the resolution?
No one else signed up.
Okay. Can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank everybody for being here. I particularly wanted to recognize Detective Karen Mack. As she said, she's been on the child abuse team for 16 years, and that's a tough assignment. I've found in my experience with child abuse team members, they're either in there and out of there as soon as their rotation allows them, or they become lifers. They become so committed to the kids they serve that they serve their entire career there. And Detective Karen Mack is an example of that. So thank you all for being here today. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
I appreciate the work that's done on this very important subject. There's no more important work than the focus Commissioner Saltzman continues to bring on it. Aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner Saltzman, your continued leadership on raising awareness and providing funding for tackling these tough issues is impressive, and I thank you very much for your focus. Also thank Catholic Charities, Volunteers of America, CARES Northwest, and the Portland Police Bureau's Family Services Division for all of your hard work in the community to prevent child abuse. The Portland Children's Levy funds 13 child abuse intervention and prevention programs at over $1.5 million to serve nearly 2,000 Portland children last year. So thank you to the taxpayers for funding this and doing something about these tragedies in our community. Thank you especially to the Police Bureau. They receive over 1,000 reports of child abuse each month. 1,000 reports each month. I almost wonder whether my staff has that written down wrong, but that's a lot of concern. That's correct, Amy.
That's correct.
This is a huge problem, and I appreciate the focus. I thank especially the officers who day in, day out work on these tragic cases. And thank you to Commissioner Saltzman again for the flag resolution, which I think I was somewhat skeptical of when we passed it last year. I did support it. And I'm glad that we have it, and I'm glad that you just gave us that annual report and recited those three names again, that we hear a lot about other tragedies in the community involving the police, and to have those children's names repeated is important, and thank you very much for doing that. Earlier today, we heard about the Start Making a Reader Today program. So there's things, in addition to paying the taxes that fund the Children's Levy, that people in our community can do, and each one of us, I think, should be thinking about, in addition to what can we do in our wellness goals for our personal health, what can we do for a child every day? Can we do one thing for a child every day? And so thank you very much for this work. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for his decades of leadership and commitment on the issue of domestic abuse, domestic violence, and safety for all in the city of Portland, especially our most vulnerable, the children. So thank you for that. Thank you to our nonprofit providers who helped make this happen and the team at the Police Bureau. Very pleased to vote aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 556?
Authorized North McAdam Urban Renewal and Redevelopment Bonds and Extension of Interim Financing.
Please call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, just noting that this vote changes the mechanism of financing to bonds, and the reason we can do that is because of the tax increment that's been generated in the North McAdam Urban Renewal District. So this is a good thing. It's not adding more projects. It's using a different financing mechanism in acknowledgement that the line of credit that the city had extended to get the district started has, in fact, paid off, worked out, and is getting those projects done. I was initially a skeptic of the North McAdam Urban Renewal District, and now, especially in these tough times, when I go by the district and see construction continue to happen, I'm very grateful that we have it. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Please read the title for first reading of a non-emergency ordinance 557.
Amend the business license law to eliminate the exemption for residential solid waste, recycling, and yard debris haulers and make other housekeeping changes.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Terry. What are we looking at here?
Terry Williams, License and Tax Division Manager for the Revenue Bureau. The proposed amendments to the Business License Tax Code fall into three main categories: housekeeping, administrative authority, and an exemption elimination for the residential haulers. The five housekeeping changes include changing the return due date for co-ops and nonprofits to match the state of Oregon, clarifying two definitions, the first one income for limited liability companies, and the second one an exempt year for net operating loss purposes. Also removing unnecessary language in the gross receipts exemption subsection and removing an exemption for secondary residences that was added 3 years ago, and this is due to administrative difficulties that we have with that. The two administrative authority changes include authorizing the Revenue Bureau to provide certificates of compliance electronically, which allows the Bureau to meet projected budget cuts, next year, as well as becoming more sustainable, and authorizing the Bureau to collect business phone numbers and email addresses of officers and owners that can be used by the city for any lawful purpose. That was a change that, or an addition that you asked for, Mayor Adams. Finally, the exemption for the residential haulers was added to the code 15 years ago at the request of the now-named Bureau of Planning and Sustainability when the city added a franchise fee for the haulers. The general fund did not lose revenue as a result of that exemption because Bureau of Planning and Sustainability transfers revenue from that fee into the general fund to make up that revenue loss. Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has requested that this exemption be eliminated and that those payments cease. And removing that exemption will not create a double taxation issue. That's basically very quickly a summary of the changes. I'm happy to answer any questions. And Bruce Walker from Planning and Sustainability is here to talk a little bit more about the impact on the haulers and that exemption.
Well, why don't we see if anyone has any questions, Bruce?
So my question is on the impacts on the haulers and on the ratepayers and on the general fund. So if you could just help me understand how the different pots of money would be affected.
I'll start with the general fund. There will be no impact to the general fund because whereas Planning and Sustainability pays that amount now, the haulers would pay it in the future. So the general fund won't see a change. So, but I'll let him talk
about
it. Where
did Planning and Sustainability get the money from to pay it into the general fund in the first place?
Good morning. I'm Bruce Walker from Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We receive out of the rates charged by haulers, a 5% franchise fee to fund our activities, sustainable programs. And so those funds, we're currently shifting a small amount to licenses to the general fund. We're proposing what this ordinance would do would eliminate that exemption for haulers. They, in turn, would incur that cost. They would pay it like they do for their commercially collected trash-related business. So they would pay that to licenses to the Revenue Bureau. So the general fund's kept hold. The cost would be part of the rate system or rate review, rates charged to customers. It's part of a hauler's cost of doing business. The impact would be, our estimate is less than 10 cents per month in terms of covering this revenue or cost.
So we're expecting the haulers to pass that 10 cents a month on to their customers?
Correct. It would be part of our rate review. We would look at that and pass those along in costs that or proposed rates that we bring back to council.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Thank you both very much. Has anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
All right. Then, unless there's objection, it moves to a second reading. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 553? No, did I do that wrong?
558.
Thank you, 558.
Authorize a memorandum of understanding with Portland Public Schools and Friends of Grant Athletics regarding field improvements at Grant Park and Grant High School.
Second reading, please call the vote.
Saltzman?
Well, good work to both the district, Lloyd Lindley, and all the others who are going to make this grant field much more accessible and usable and promote the general health and well-being of our citizens. So great work. Great partnership. Aye.
Leonard.
I, too, appreciate the work of Lloyd and the other grant community members who have worked for this very important improvement. I support it wholeheartedly. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you to the community members who have worked on this and commending Commissioner Fish for his continued commitment to finding ways to fund great fields all over Portland, as we heard earlier. I am a little concerned about the predictability of the public process for this, which we'll get to discuss tomorrow in our look at conditional uses on sports fields for schools. So I'm glad that we get that discussion. We did receive a letter regarding this morning concerned about whether the Friends of Grant Park are a 501c3, and I understand that we're in the process of doing that and that this memorandum of understanding isn't signed until that is done. So I appreciate the community input on all sides on this. It's been very helpful. Aye.
Fish.
I want to thank the volunteer citizens that brought this matter forward who have agreed to go out and raise private dollars to upgrade fields that will then be used by community groups and our kids. At a time when we don't have the resources to adequately maintain our system, we look increasingly to our friends groups to help us do the job. Because in this instance, Portland Public Schools has a small piece of one of the fields, which are otherwise within the boundaries of Portland Parks and Rec, we've had to structure this as a collaborative enterprise between Portland Public Schools, Portland Parks and Rec, and the Friends of. What is exciting for me is that there is the potential here, because all we're doing is a first step. The MOU authorizes a Friends group to begin to take some steps, which includes some fundraising. There's no commitment from Portland Public Schools in terms of making an investment in this project at this point. But this Friends group gets to begin its private fundraising. What's exciting to me is the prospect that we may end up at the end of this process with two new fields. That would not be possible without a lot of community people who stepped up and said that the kids who go to Grant deserve state-of-the-art facilities. And I want to thank particularly Lloyd Lindley, who redefines the meaning of perseverance. This project has had many twists and turns. It probably had a less than auspicious beginning. It has been discussed and processed extensively. And what we now have is a scaled-back proposal, which is focused on the critical issue of the quality of fields for kids. And again, we at the city don't have the resources to make the investment to replace the fields, so we look to our private partners to help us, and this is a model of how community members have come together and helped us meet a compelling need both at the city and at the school district. So I want to thank everybody who's worked tirelessly to bring this moment to fruition. We are hopeful that you're successful in your fundraising, but we understand that all we're doing now is green lighting a campaign, and that in time will tell whether you can raise the money to do this project. But I am going to proudly support this MOU, and I want to thank not only Lloyd and all the people who have been involved, but I want to thank all the good people at the Parks Bureau who have worked hard to make this happen as well, and including Emily Hicks from my team. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Fish for getting this long-standing opportunity underway. And I want to thank Lloyd for your tenaciousness and perseverance and not giving up. I am thrilled to vote aye. We are recessed till tomorrow at 2 p.m.